At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
What's up, everybody? Ryan Castle here of the Dissect DJs. And we got another classic movie review throwback episode for you here. Recorded a couple years ago from our Three Things About podcast, which was my original podcast where we used to break things down into three crucial topics. And we do a few movie reviews, several of which I've thrown on the Dissect DJ's feed. And this topic actually got brought up in our most recent episode when we did the Soulful Strut Grab Bag episode. And I questioned the group about whether you'd rather be an Oompa Loompa or a savage lost boy from Hook. And in talking about that subject, I brought up the fact that we had actually broke down Willy Wonka previously, and that was the only time I'd ever watched it since I was a small child, and still is the only time I've ever seen it. And I was like, you know what, I don't think we ever actually threw that episode up on the Dissect DJs. Looked it up, we had not, so here it is. What better time than now to break down this classic from 1971 starring the incomparable Gene Wilder. We talked about the insane genius that Gene Wilder brings to the role of Willy Wonka, how you're not sure if he's a mad genius who actually has a deep plan the whole time, or if he's just a certifiable maniac who kind of enjoys watching children perish in front of him for disobeying his orders at the chocolate factory. Talked about that lazy piece of shit, Grandpa Joe, and that gross, toxic environment that the fucking four grandparents all live in, and Charlie's mom just has to hustle around running the show for. And we talked a little bit about how this movie takes way too long to get to the damn chocolate factory. It's like 45 minutes to an hour before we even meet Willy Wonka. And as you will hear, it started to get on my nerves a little bit as I was watching it back for the first time really ever. It's called Willy Wonka. Let's fucking get him in the show already. What the hell? I don't need another scene in the classroom where everybody's just talking about how they're looking for the damn golden ticket. I get it. Golden ticket. Everybody wanted it. And then nobody could find it. It really belabored the point. Anyways, you'll hear about all of this and more as we discuss this 1971 classic in three things form, full dissect. And if it conjures up any thoughts and opinions on your own that you'd like to share of your own memories of watching this movie, then feel free to share it with us on our socials at Dissect DJs on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all the good stuff. Let us know how our retelling of this film measures up to your own opinions of it. Lots to talk about with it. Let's get into it right now. Three things dissect of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Yes, we're back. And we got three things to talk about. And this time we're talking about a legendary flick from 1971. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. I am Ryan Castle. This is Three Things We Gotta Talk About Podcast. Here with me once again, DJ Jag.
DJ Digga, what?
Justino Garcia. And J-Way, Jason Malabuyak.
We out here.
All right. And we are here to break down Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, which was, of course, adopted from the 1964 children's novel Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's the same thing. It's just in one, they decide to emphasize Willy, and the other, it's Charlie. But I think Willy's the right guy to go with.
Yeah, it's his fucking chocolate factory.
It's his gang.
This is one of my movies that I grew up on. Mm-hmm. It's one of those movies that I changed as I've gotten older, but still have pretty much the same amount of love that I ever had for it from when I was a kid to now. Very hard to do as a movie. Keep the same amount of love that you have for it as a five-year-old, I think I remember me seeing it. You said 71, so I definitely saw it as early Papa. To now being 37 and still seeing things that you're like, dude, what a movie.
Yeah.
What a film. Yeah.
And I hadn't actually watched it until, what was that, Monday? I hadn't seen it since I was a kid. And that was a trip. Like, I, the whole time, seeing the Oompa Loompas in person and seeing that like tunnel scene and all that, like I was tripping out harder than I thought I would. I can only imagine how I saw it as a kid. But either way, we got some things to talk about. So
maybe some Oompa Loompas apparently as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're going to talk about
those,
some Oopaloopas.
Those threw Castle for a loop.
They're a trip. The orange faces, the green hair, their
outfit.
Yeah. The songs are fantastic, too, all four of them. But anyway, what do we got to talk about, Steve?
We got some things to talk about, so let's toss it up to the rundown and get it going with thing number one. Is Willy Wonka the most irresponsible business owner in the history of cinema? Jason, what do you think?
Irresponsible? No. Because he has everyone sign a waiver. He's very responsible.
He covers his bases.
Immediately.
Even though that contract got like really a little bit, like no one's reading that shit.
That was one of the things that actually made me laugh more than anything in the whole movie was just the fact that that's how we all read contracts. Is they're just kind of like, The fact that it actually physically becomes harder to read than imaginable, and they're just like, what about that? It's all, don't worry about it.
But yeah, he's teaching these kids lessons, life lessons, literally. Some of them more than others. But yeah, definitely has a good head on his shoulders and is like, I'm going to weed out the bad seeds. I don't want to see these people in society.
And immediately finding out that, they're all bad seeds. But who are we comparing as far as bad business owners these two? Like, what other business owners can we imagine?
I'm glad you asked. I thought about it for a little bit. I took down just a handful of other business owners from previous movies. Or
hit me with two.
All right. So we got Scrooge McDuck, who liquidated his entire fortune and turned it into a pool of coins just simply so he can walk into his case and dive into it like a pool of money and spit it out.
But
and
he was protected by,
I just question if that's the best use of your fortune, just so you could like swim in a pool of coins.
Probably can't dive in that either.
It's probably really hard to dive in everything.
Yeah, you're breaking your neck.
You would not be able to spit them out as you're doing the backstroke.
Okay, he's pretty, I see the irresponsibility there. Yeah. And what else? What else do we got?
Doc Brown, Back to the Future, who decides to take an untested, unproven time machine, and in order to figure out if it actually will go to the future or the past, speed it with a dog sitting in the driving seat directly at him and Marty.
Einstein.
By the way, does the vantage point of Marty's camera change at all if he's driving right at you? Couldn't they have just done that while they're just kind of got like the landscape view?
Back to the Future, different movie.
All right, how about this? The guy from Blank Check who let a 10-year-old completely raid him of his fortune.
He left him a blank check. Yeah, that's pretty stupid. Okay.
It's a bad business move.
Bad business
move. Don't let that kid do that.
So, yeah, if you're going to ask me those, I'm going to go ahead and say, no, actually, I'm agreeing with Jason. This is actually one of the smartest business owners out there. Number one, has them sign a contract. Number two, puts them to scenarios that if they're going to be taking on his future business, of which he needs to take care of Oompa Loompas. And I guess that's an evil, vicious canids. No, those are the ones that used to eat the Oompa Loompas. Mm-hmm. Anyways, taking care of this population of Oompa Loompas who's, that he needs to make sure they're well taken care of.
He's got to put them through the tests. He's got to make sure they can handle
They can handle their own ambitions.
These are the kids that wanted to take over. So he's like, no, you're not fit to run this chocolate kingdom.
Well, was the ticket to take over the kingdom of the factory, or was it not just to visit it and go see it?
It was to get a lifetime supply of chocolate and then visit it. But for him, he was doing it to try to weed out, to find somebody to then take over his.
I'm going to say not necessary. Just let some kids visit your chocolate factory, have a great old time, eat a bunch of chocolate, and then bounce and go back home. Doesn't need to be life or death where every single kid is like, you're either good enough to take over my entire business or you end up a giant blueberry who's going to die.
Yeah, but he's getting older. He can't do it anymore. Wonka's getting older, so he has to.
There's a lot of better ways to run a business than figure out your successor.
I feel like he could have looked at. I feel like he disrespected his Oompa Loompa population by not looking to one of the leaders in the Oompa Loompas.
Yeah,
and they've been a part of the
hired
system.
Outside, like promote within.
What I mean? Like they could have been a top Oompa Loompa, and they now run the factory. And it could have been like they know how to run the sugar. They know how much sugar to put in. They're doing they know all the songs. They feel like they got good moral behind them.
Oompa Loompa was like, well, fuck me, I guess.
Probably telling
all his friends like
bringing in these fucking kids. Like these kids are probably going to be your boss. Get ready.
It's because I'm an Oompa Loompa, isn't it?
That's exactly what it was. So it's kind of fucked up, as you think about it. So
I had one more example.
So irresponsible, actually, now that, and as I'm making, I'm making a U-turn back and say, yes, that was actually very irresponsible for him not to hire within to guys that already know the business and hire one of them, rather, and then bring some kid in with their irresponsibilities as a kid and still have to mature. You never know what they're going to turn into. You know, yeah. So I'm going to go ahead and say, was he the biggest responsible? Not most irresponsible. I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to say, yes, he was extremely irresponsible with his business.
I had one more example. The guy who designed the Death Star, who decided, let's just leave like a block just for funsies so that maybe
so that little opening.
If some Luke Skywalker comes out there and can maybe just fire it
but
in
that's
there.
That's it. No
destroys
other part.
The whole thing.
No other part of it. Leave guns. Let's try to, but yeah, but I got you.
Here's my case. Willy Wonka, he runs an entire factory, which apparently in this universe is worth more than gold. Everybody is destroying each other just to try to get a golden ticket to visit this chocolate factory.
One woman is going to give up everything she wants to get her husband back. But when asked for her final case of Wonka bars, she asks, how long would they give me to think it over?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So my question
is, how
deep
this goes, people.
Is chocolate like a different level of appreciation in this movie? Because like, I know we all like chocolate, but the lengths that people are going to get this golden ticket, it's astronomical. What made me think was, if this was actually a real contest, but it was not visit a chocolate factory and then have unlimited supply of chocolate. If it was actually like we're giving away $1 million, do you think that people would react similar to they did in this movie?
I think if you did $1 billion, $1 billion candy bars, I think $1 million is going to get some play. Don't get me wrong. People are going to go and buy some candy, but like, let me see if I win. But $1 million doesn't do it. If you do it $1 billion, there is $1 billion candy bars in the world, I think, yeah.
You're going to see some people.
I think he
chocolate.
Goes absolutely yeah. fucking
somebody
bonkers.
Starts a factory like the one girl's dad did.
Oh, yeah.
And for sure.
Just opening
and
them
it
up.
Just like opens them, yeah.
Because if you think about it, you can spend $100 million just to find that one. And if you end up finding it, boom, you made $900
million.
But
how about that lady finding it and like saying right away, I found it.
Yeah,
like,
what is that
about?
Why
would you just pocket that shit?
That's exactly what I thought with Charlie.
Why wouldn't you just clock out real quick and just like go?
Right, yeah. Like pocket that thing, go home. I thought the same thing when Charlie found his because he's like,
well,
I got it. And then everybody around him is celebrating.
No, he didn't get it.
Yeah, and his arm's
like
stuck.
He didn't get it. Some woman approaches him immediately and goes, you got it. You found the golden ticket.
Sure, but then he's holding it up and there's a bunch of people.
She lifts his arm up and pushes him into the crowd.
Right, and then there's still a whole crowd around Charlie. And
I mean, at that point, bring your hand down. I get it, but he was, you know.
Somebody, I'm just saying, I watched Barry Bonds hit his like record-breaking home run ball, and it was a madhouse to try to get, like, people were biting each other in the ankle to try to get that ball. There's no way, if there's a kid holding up that golden ticket that apparently the whole world's been tearing each other apart to get, that some asshole is not being like, guys, mine, and he just starts fighting. I'm surprised that they didn't put that into the story a little bit. Like, he had to fight off some asshole.
They kind of did. Run home and don't let anybody get
no,
you.
No, no, no. But honestly, that guy, the best advice in the entire movie is that guy that says, run home, Charlie.
Well, that was his boss. That was his boss that was
okay.
In the newspapers.
Did you see what he's got?
Break it up.
Let me see it. Over here. Show it over here.
Come on, Charlie. Hold on to that ticket. Run for it, Charlie. Run straight home and don't stop till you get there.
Yeah, that guy gives the best advice of the movie. Run home. Don't let any of these other people see that you have this ticket because they will stab
you
for it.
You're
going
to get jacked, bro.
So what's your verdict?
Oh, no, he's absolutely. So let me hear it. I never made my case. All right. Willie, he brings these kids in to get a lifetime supply of chocolate. He's got his own, like, secret ploy, right? And in the process, he's just totally cool with murdering children left and right. It's kind of his plot. Every single time a kid starts to go towards something, and obviously, like, all the kids are assholes other than Charlie. It's shown right from the start that all these kids are bad. They all yell at their parents. They're like, I'm talking! It's made clear all these kids have a reason that you're going to want to root against them.
Except for Charlie Bucket.
Obviously, Charlie's the one. He's got the little soft spot. He gives his grandpa a chocolate bar. What do you do? I don't even remember.
Yeah, it's okay.
Something like that. Either way, if this is your plan to weed out people, there's better ways to figure out who to take over your... You could bring these kids in as employees, get a look at them, start working them in the factory, figure out who actually wants it, who actually understands the business, who gets the rigmarole of how this factory is run, understands the concept of the data, what the numbers of the Wonka bars are doing on a monthly basis, you know, what's the overhead costing, all this stuff.
Basically an accountant. You want an accountant.
That would be a start. Charlie is just a child who wanted chocolate, and so were all these other kids. So by the mere fact that he didn't eat a everlasting gobstopper to decide this is the one that is going to take over my factory, poor business choice. And the fact that you had to murder who knows how many kids along the way, every single time one of these kids goes off to do something that's clearly going to kill them, he just goes... Oh, no, stop. Don't do that. Yeah. He wants them to die. He wants these kids to die. So I would say, yeah, no. He's even more irresponsible than the guy who let the 10-year-old in blank check overrun his fortune.
It's probably a multi-billion-dollar corporation.
Yeah, because apparently in this world, everybody gives a fuck about Wonka bars, and they all will murder each other to try to get a golden
ticket.
I think
it was meant to be money, but they did it in chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think.
Because it's worth a fortune.
Yeah. Commentary on greed. A lot of this movie is.
Exactly.
And that's fine, but I'm just saying Wonka could have done it better. The fact that he just decides to hand over his fortune just because a kid hands over a piece of candy on his desk and then went from telling him to piss off. Like, he turns on him quickly. He heals out on him right away.
Yeah.
You know,
in his office with half things. Yeah. There's nothing but half things in the office, which never it really gets explained. He just has a bunch of...
Et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah, yeah.
You lose. You get nothing.
The lifetime supply of chocolate for Charlie. When does he get it?
He doesn't.
Why not?
Because he broke the rules.
What rules? We didn't see any rules, did we, Charlie?
Wrong, sir. Wrong. Under Section 37B of the contract signed by him, it states quite clearly that all offers shall become null and void if, and you can read it for yourself in this photostatic copy, I, the undersigned, shall forfeit all rights, privileges, and licenses herein and herein contained, etc., etc., fax mentis incendium gloria culpum, etc., etc., memo bis punitor delicatum. It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You stole fizzy lifting drinks. You bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed and sterilized, so you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Man.
Good day. Yeah. All right, so you're saying he is super irresponsible. I'm saying responsible.
I'm saying responsible.
And Jason's saying he's responsible. All right.
Handling that business.
Question number one has been answered.
All right, let's jump into thing number two.
Number two.
What is the deal with those grandparents, though?
What is going on?
What is going on?
This is the question I've had since I was five watching this movie.
I think there's so much, just even, I don't even know where to start.
Go ahead, dude, we'll start off. You can
go
anywhere.
You go ahead, you go ahead. You,
what are they doing? How are there four grandparents, obviously both sides of Charlie Bucket's side of the family, sitting in one bed and... Grandpa Joe says for 20 years, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that they've all been in the bed for 20 years. How is this happening? How did this start?
That was my question. When did this begin? Why did this begin? And how does a day-to-day scenario take place? We got four grandparents not only sleeping in the same bed, but living in the same bed. There's a lot of things that are just going to have to be assumed. How do these people...
Shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How do they get their rocks off? Is this some swingers, fellow grandparent couples?
How are they cleaning the sheets?
That are just like,
all
you know what?
These sheets.
How are they cleaning these?
There's no way that anybody's mind doesn't go to, these guys, they all swing out together. Right?
How smelly are their feet? And their feet are right next to your hip.
I didn't see anybody's feet in the bed.
They're opposite of each other's feet.
They literally
feet.
Just like form They're into like, each other.
No, they have a big green blanket that covers all four of them.
Okay.
It's crazy. On top of that, one is named George. Another one is Georgina. They are married. Then you have Grandpa Joe. Grandpa Josephine. They are married. How did that happen? And then, again, how did these two couples be like, you guys are just going to kick in that bed, huh? You mind if we... We're going to kick it on the other side. We're going to make this happen. 20 years. How are they cleaning? How are they? Are they talking every day? I mean, the conversation's got to get dull.
See, that's what's crazy. It's like they get a lot of hate, justifiably so, because I think that's just, I don't know. I don't want people living in my house like that. My parents would ever just do that and just lay around all day. I'm like, get your ass up and do something. But
well, Grandma, if you look at I will the say other Grandma way, Josephine does knit.
Did they finesse the parents? Like, hey, we can lay like this all fucking day. I mean, they're getting finessed.
Well, the mom is going out there working for
and
their.
And then all of a sudden, Charlie comes home with some chocolate and a ticket, and it's like, "Hey, guess who can walk, motherfuckers? Because I'm going to the fucking factory. Here we go.
Fucking grab a Joe. Here we go. Out of fucking nowhere, man. Yeah. He just can't like walk for 20 years, and then he's like, "Yo, wait.
Let me try this out.
You're able to get in the factory?
Give me my hat.
My slippers are right under the bed there. They've been there for 20 years, but they're fine. Give me those things. Like,
doesn't even get dressed, though. He stays in his pajamas.
Dances around and spinning, and which makes me think, when Charlie's off to school, Mom's off to work, these four are just getting up and standing around the house.
People over and shit, dude. Keggers. Yeah.
There's no chance. These four are just sitting in bed. Somebody's coming home. Like, she's here. Jump in. And they just jump back in bed.
Like, so mom is like the toys in Toy Story. Like,
yeah. Just drop that. Mom just is getting fleeced. That's the answer. Yeah. They figured out a way to be like, you do all the work and we can just lay in this bed and this is a dope ass life.
You make our cabbage water soup and we're just going to sail whatever.
Oh, my God. And then Grandpa Joe's asshole ass still chewing tobacco. He's still chewing tobacco and just sits in the bed and just.
Yeah, where's he spitting the tobacco?
Where's he spitting the tobacco? His shit, his farts gotta stink. Like, it's a whole different. Who's farting? If you're farting in the bed, they're like, Joe, that was you. We know that smell. Like, you know, like, are they massaging each other's feet?
Oh, they made peace with that a long time ago.
This is 20 years of sitting in the same bed.
I have an answer on why Joe married Josephine and George married Georgina.
Why?
Writers fucking lazy.
Lazy writers. They were like, dude, I don't know what they're like, doing. I think they did.
Joe and Josephine, George.
That'd be funny, right? If the names were similar, just put it in. Guy, whatever.
What is the name that works with George? So they're, Georgina.
They're going to be moving to the factory now. Are the Oompa Loompas going to be taking care of them while they sit in the bed? Or can they get in separate beds then? Like, because it's such a factory, are they still going to be in the same bed together? Or are they going to be like, all right, we can probably have separate rooms?
I kind of feel like once the cap is blown off the fact that lazy ass Grandpa Joe can walk, like, you're not being able to go back to that life. Like, the Oompa Loompas are going to make sure
we saw you, Grandpa Joe.
Yeah. You're also supposed to be running a
Grandpa
company.
George, get your ass up. We know you can get up too, motherfucker. Get your ass.
And you're supposed to be running a company now, so there's no way the Oompa Loompas are letting that shit slide. You better learn how to play that flute piece.
Grandpa Joe was quick to drink that fizzy. He was quick to drink that fizzy lifting drink too, man. He got right on that.
Exactly.
Grandpa Joe was like, "Yo, what is this?"
Let me bring this back to Willie though. Are we sure that Willie is not just an outright maniac? I don't really understand the reason that he's heralded as such a celebrity in this universe, but he's obviously a showman, right? But there are multiple times throughout, and he's not to mention the fact that he's totally fine with children being murdered, that he just displays utter chaos where I don't think this guy's got a full set to work with. So if I'm Charlie, I'm looking at this thing and I'm taking a step back and I'm like, okay, what did I actually sign? Do I have to take over this factory? And what is the monetary value that I get from it? I'm getting a few lawyers involved. That's all I'm saying. Because I don't trust that Willie is actually a straight shooter and being like somebody who is responsible enough to run a business in which I'm now taking over. Because, yeah, that guy goes in and out. And credit to Gene Wilder. He does a fantastic performance.
Brilliant.
Of it.
Brilliant performance.
But, yeah, at no point do you actually trust that, and that's part of the ride, is that you don't trust that this guy actually has your well-being in mind, including right at the end when he's absolutely loses his shit out of nowhere on Charlie for being the only one to not do anything shitty the whole time.
I thought you were going to the end, and again, back to the glass elevator. We were like, we're just going to go. It's going to go through a glass, and we're going through it.
I'm not getting the glass elevator with it.
He's going. He's like, yeah.
Here it comes.
Yeah. That fool's crazy with it, dude.
That fool is crazy.
Yeah, so but back to Grandpa Joe and all them. I got to say, this is comes back from my Dissect DJs side. If you guys don't listen to us, Dissect DJs. But I'm going to go ahead and go, fuck Grandpa Joe. You motherfucking made her work and sit there and fed you for 20 years. All four of the grandparents kissed my ass. Yeah.
And because I don't know when there's a better time to bring it up, what is the guy's name with the glasses and the hat?
Slugworth.
Slugworth. Farnsworth is
Frills. What is the deal?
Slugworth through the first half hour of the movie just creeps on the
creepy
kids.
He does it. Not age well.
And at the very end, he's all thumbs up.
All right. That's what I wanted to get to. Okay.
That was Willy Wonka. That was Willy Wonka as well. Like he sent him.
I was going to get to this later, but let's just go ahead and do it now. There is an absolute lack of fulfillment from the entire story of this. So we got this Slugworth dude who is a clear predator from the beginning. Every single time a kid finds
any part of the world.
Yeah, like the golden ticket. He's there. And he's instantly fondling them and right in their ear, and nobody says anything. Nobody's fondling. Like, hey, what's the deal with that guy who just popped up out of nowhere and is like caressing my son's arm and whispering in his ear? And he's built up as this like weird villain. I was really waiting for the payoff of that. I wanted him to have a sudden moment where he like turns into, you know, Jafar when he turns into the snake, or the guy from Temple of Doom who suddenly like turns into an insane I don't even know what that guy was. I don't know. I haven't seen Temple of Doom in a long time. You know what I'm saying. The villain that like suddenly turns into just a crazy maniac. I wanted to see him go next level insane. Like, I'm scared of this guy. But no. First of all, just because Charlie returns the Gobstopper, Wonka just flips the switch immediately. And he's like, you won, Charlie. I'm a good guy now. And Charlie just goes along with it. And then this fool just walks his happy ass in the room and he's like, oh, this is Dr. Peterson? He's just my right-hand man. He was testing you the whole time. And that's it.
You won! You did it! You did it! I knew you would! I just knew you would! Oh, Charlie, forgive me for putting you through this. Please forgive me. Come in, Mr. Wilkinson. Charlie, meet Mr. Wilkinson.
Pleasure.
Slugworth.
No, that's not Slugworth. He works for me.
For you?
I had to test you, Charlie, and you passed the test.
And there's no payoff other than maybe a slight ISO of him in that weird-ass tunnel that they go through on the boat. That's it. Other than that, he's just kind of like this sketchy character in the background that you keep thinking is going to turn into somebody. And he just ends up being a nice little doctor at the end. Just like, yeah, I got this scar and numb. Yeah, don't be afraid of it.
Fuck Grandpa Joe. I think that explains the grandparents. I think we've gotten into Slugworth. I think it's time for the thingies. Thingies.
Let's bring it to thing number three.
Number three.
And that, of course, is the thingies, which is where we give out our awards for this movie, which, of course, always begins with the MVP. Jason, who's your MVP?
I know, it's obvious for me who the MVP is. It's Mr. Wonka himself.
Yep.
That's my MVP.
I have the same.
Right. Carries the whole film. There's so many annoying kids in that film, and Grandpa Joe just being a fucking piece of shit. Like, he's a ray of sunshine, you know?
Yeah.
The singing, the songs, the crazy is a good crazy. There's a track out, and he said, how do you spell crazy? It's G-E-N-I-U-S, which is genius. He is a genius.
Nice.
Yeah,
I had the same. His ability to dance between crazy and entertaining is immaculate. It really is what, like, this movie drags for a while. It takes way too long to get to Willy Wonka. That was my qualm with the movie. There's way too many scenes about everybody looking for the golden ticket.
The golden ticket, yeah.
And then even when we finally meet Wonka, and he walks out and he does this long, drawn out, like,
it's about a minute.
It's about a minute.
Of him.
It's quiet, completely quiet.
Yeah, super quiet. And him just kind of like limping over, and everybody's like, oh, is he hurt? That could have been done 30 seconds quicker. Because I was watching it, not having seen it in a long time, being like, I feel like he's just doing this to, like, trick everybody. And of course, that's what he does. He ends up doing a little roll, and he's just like, hey, everybody, welcome to the chocolate factory, you know. And it could have gotten there like half the speed. So my issue with the movie is that it takes way too long to actually get Wonka involved. We have like a whole classroom scene. There's just so many drawn out scenes about people. I actually, when me and Justin watched it on Monday, when Charlie finally found the golden ticket, my exclamation was, thank God. If this was going to be another bait and switch moment where he's like, oh, I thought I got it, but no, I didn't. Because he does that horrible prank where he tries to prank the whole family where he's like, so, I found it. And then immediately just folds on his whole idea of a prank. And he's like, I'm sorry.
Go on, open it.
Here goes. I got it.
Where?
Let's see. Fooled you, didn't I? You thought I really had it.
Never mind, Charlie.
So Willie's your MVP.
Willie's my MVP. He brings it home with his music. He's a great singer. He looks legitimately crazy. His ability to bounce back and forth between being, you know, kind of a cool-looking dude who you trust and you want to love, but also, like, I think this guy might be completely insane, is absolutely well done, and I might have found my new Halloween costume for next year.
Nice. My MVP is going to be Grandpa Joe, actually.
After all this shit you just dug up on his grave?
No, well, let's think about it. We have a guy who clearly nobody wants to stay in a bed for 20 years. He's been incapacitated for 20 years, had to stay next to his wife, his step, you know, that he doesn't even know these two grandparents. They met because of marriage. He continues to build Charlie and make sure that Charlie is positive. And finally, when he does get the ticket, Charlie asks him, you know, I would really want to go with you. Decide to do after 20 years, get up, be strong enough as a man to stand up and go with Charlie to the factory, get drunk, hang out. You got to give it to him. He was there for his grandson throughout the entire movie. And because of that, I got to give him the MVP. I just want to say, you guys see how I did the switch.
That was the old Charlie Bucket bait and switch, I think.
We got that.
Sure enough, let's get to the Sixth Man of the Year Award.
Sixth Man Award. I'm going to continue with mine, and I'm going to actually go into the...
Thank you.
I'm going to go into my Sixth Man, which is the... And you just hated on him, the teacher. I don't know why. I just love him. Every time I ever like watched his lesson.
He's super forgettable. I don't remember what he says.
The face is ugly, right? He had this ugly long face.
Ugly guy,
and then I always remember him not being able to figure out the percentage. He's like, he's doing 100. Oh, it's 10%, and that's 15%. He's like, I did 2. He's like, 2? Well, I can't figure out just 2. So let's pretend you did 200 because you're a teacher. You can't show your class how... what 2 is of 1,000? I just forever made me laugh.
Yeah, 50% of 2 is about the easiest fraction I can actually make up.
What was that?
50% of 2 is
no. It was what is 2 of 1,000? The percentage.
Oh, okay.
And it's 0.2%, which is really easy for me. But all you had to do was take it down. Anyway, and
then like I said, I was bored at that part.
I love that guy, man. That's my Sixth Man. I love the teacher. Who you got then?
I wonder who Jason has first.
I have sixth men. Because the Oompa Loompas.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
They didn't, you know, they just had their songs, but they're so iconic that we think about Oompa Loompas to this day.
Yeah.
We know the songs. What do you get
when you guys are down, sweets? A pain in the neck and an IQ.
Little dances, you know?
Great dances. Half cartwheels.
The timing, impeccable. The kid just died. Fuck this shit. We're singing.
Yeah.
I have a song for this. It's just like
they have a different song.
They
every
come
time.
Out like, oh yeah, got this.
They have a number ready for literally any event that takes place.
They keep the chocolate river going. You know, they probably water the eatable grass. You know, they do it all.
So this is what actually tripped me out so much when I was watching it because I've seen the Oompa Loompas kind of represented so many times over the years, and you know the songs. And you almost kind of see them as cartoon figures. But when I watch the movie and they're actually real people that are very convincing Oompa Loompas. Like you believe them as Oompa Loompas and you realize these are actual men who played this part and they painted themselves orange and dyed their hair green and did the little troll curl and everything. They're very in unison. They do excellent choreography.
Mm-hmm.
They sing together fantastically. It's
the cartwheels and they land and hold.
Yeah. Excellent job by the Oompa Loompas. Again, I think they should actually be the ones that take over the factory. They should be the rightful owners.
Yeah, I think we've come to that conclusion as a group that, you know what?
Yeah.
The fact that he didn't hire in-house is going to lower my...
Talk about, team morale just...
I don't think of Willy Wonka as high as I did before this.
I bet there would be a far less rate of child deaths if the Oompa Loompas were in charge. I'm just going to say that.
Maybe.
Because they're the one teaching the lessons, right? What do you get?
Yeah, they know. They know it. Who's your sixth man?
All right. Why do I keep forgetting his name? Mr. Snugglesworth? Mr.
Slugworth.
Slugworth. Slugworth keeps her intrigued the whole time because the way he keeps popping up and being a creepy motherfucker, and you're wondering what he's up to.
His voice is a trip, too.
Yeah, everything about him. His he plays a great heel. I remember being legitimately scared of him as a kid.
Developing an everlasting gobstopper. And he just like, what the fuck,
bro? Do it again.
They're developing a candy called the everlasting gobstopper.
Exactly. And the only thing I actually remembered about that trippy boat ride from when I was a kid was I remember his face popping up. And when I watched it back, I was surprised like how actually that wasn't a payoff. Like, everything about him should have been a payoff. He should have ended up being the one who just comes out and he's the evil one who's forcing Wonka to just be...
No, it was Wonka the whole time.
Yeah. I just feel like they missed an opportunity on that. But either way, he played his role as being the creepy dude that you're like, what's up with that dude? So he does that so well. So I think he's a sixth man off the bench. I do want to give a little special shout out to the girl who's super into gum that turns into a blueberry. Mm. Because when she gets the...
Violet, you're turning violet, Violet.
When she gets the golden ticket and she's being interviewed, she doesn't miss a beat. And she just suddenly yells at the mom real quick and then just jumps right back into it. And it's just like, that girl, for being as young as she is, she's actually on point with every line she's saying. And, like, I believe it. I believe that she's a bitch. Yeah. Like.
Well, I'm a gum chewer normally, but when I heard about these ticket things of Wonka's, I laid off the gum and switched to candy bars instead. Now, of course, I'm right back on gum. I chew it all day except at mealtimes when I stick it behind my ear.
Violet.
Cool it, Mother. Now, this piece of gum here is one that I've been chewing on for 3 months solid, and that's a world record. It's beaten the record held by my best friend, Miss Cornelia Prince Medal, and was she mad.
Just roast jumps beef in. And a baked potato. Mmm, her dad, with sour cream. So shout out to her dad, too, for just throwing in these one-liners real quick.
I would say the only reason she does not get
Sam
the
Lee,
six
it's
man,
a guarantee.
Her and the girl Mike who just, TV. Like, wants everything is they're too close. Like when I saw that girl doing that part, I just thought it was actually showing that girl. Like, they look too close. They have the same thing. They're super into themselves and they just want everything and they don't give a fuck about their parents. They have no respect for them. So they're kind of like the same person. That's why they kind of lose it. Like, I feel like in modern day they would have made a clear difference. Like, one of them would have been black or something, you know? They would have made a point to differ them. I honestly didn't know they were a different person until they got to the factory.
Veruca Salt, like, you thought they were different?
The two girls that were both just a pain in the ass.
But, all right. So you're six man.
Yeah. So, but I'll give it to Slugworth because you couldn't miss his performance, even though he actually had very little lines. And the ones that he did, you've remembered. He was one of the few things I remembered about this movie as a kid, which is like his face, because I remember it being scary. And I was hoping as I watched it back that he would actually end up having a payoff to that. Instead, he just walks out and he's all smiling. And he's like, I was just kidding all along. I was just trying to freak you out, you know, just trying to pull on your knob a little bit. What's up? My name's Rick, you know.
He looks like a Rick.
Yeah. All right, so yeah, that's my sixth man. So then the last award that we got to give out is the practice squad player. Who could we have lost from this film?
I'm going to say Veruca's dad. The guy that's like, all right, how much for the golden goose? Like, bro, shut up, bro. Like, you can't just walk in here and just whip out the checkbook and be like, how many pounds for a golden goose? And Willy Wonka's like, get this fucking guy out of my face. Like, these are my golden geese.
I have a system in place.
Yeah, and it's just like,
I'm just going to buy everything. All right, I'm going to murder all of your kids one by one, my own special way, and then Oompa Loompa's going to play them out. All right? So put your checkbook away. We'll talk later.
So I could do less without that guy. Or Augustus.
Yeah.
Because he didn't do anything but drown in the
or
chocolate.
Or his dad that eats the mic, and then that's all he does through the whole movie. It's quick anyway.
How about you, Jason?
I want to hear your first.
Oompa Loompa number 6. He was not caring.
He didn't dance. He actually missed it on the number.
Yeah. He missed out a little bit. He was saying, no, I would say your teacher. I'm going to actually. I don't need that guy. I don't need the whole teacher scene.
I don't need that guy.
I get it. Everybody wants the bars. It took way too long for us to get to the factory. This movie could have been cut like 30 minutes out of it. Just give me the winners. We're good.
Got you.
And I didn't need the whole classroom scene, so thus I don't need the teacher. I think he did a fine job with the scene he was given, but I could have lost him.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I'm going to go with the 4 grandparents.
All of them? That was your MVP.
I mean, he was good for the movie in his part, but in all honesty, you can take out the 4 grandparents, have Charlie just focus on his mom going through like, Mom, what about the chocolate factory? And then he takes his mom to the factory and then just literally kick out all 4 grandparents and they're not even in the story and you wouldn't know the difference.
I'm going to help your answer along. How about you take out the other 3 grandparents?
Mm-mm.
I believe much more the whole thing with his grandpa being like...
By himself?
Yeah, if he was just sick by himself, then it's much more believable because that's like a thing people have dealt with. Like, oh, my grandpa, he's not doing well. He can't get out of bed. Right, and then maybe this opportunity got him. So the other 3 games, Georgina and George, we didn't really need them. Especially them two. Did we need four of them? They were never mentioned or talked or anything
in the movie.
It just creates more questions than answers. And yeah, you're right. They were like always asleep, weren't they?
They were asleep in most scenes.
But when Joe gets up, they're like, oh, what's going on over here?
No, they don't say anything though. You're right. Those two could for sure go. Yeah. And then really, you're right. But I would say you can get rid of all 4 grandparents. Have the mom take the place of Grandpa Joe.
She deserved it way more than Grandpa Joe.
Oh, yeah. You're off and running. And she could have had a couple funny lines. And she could have said, Grandpa Joe didn't even say anything funny. She could have literally said the lines that Grandpa Joe said in the movie. Like, oh, you know, you remember the thing we saw? And she could have been there. She could have been the person. But this is 1971. Women can have a significant role in a child's fucking life. Therefore, they're not giving that. They're going to give it to the old white guy.
So all she's there to do is just, like, pick up the clothes, make the
and cook,
soup.
And yeah. And just Foley could have been the main character, main positive figure in the movie, but they decided to avoid that. So that's what I'm going to say. Yep.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Let's get to final notes and hot takes.
Quick things. Why were the geese's eggs so damn big? They were literally the size of the geese's bodies completely. That's one of my takes that I've always been amazed
by. Maybe because I don't even remember the geese's. So.
But they were geese, and their eggs were literally as big as them. How is that possible? How are they popping those things out? Always been a question of mine.
Good question.
Yeah.
Let me pose this one, which this is a question that is not going to sound right if it's isolated outside of this conversation, but which one of the child's death was most terrifying?
I'm going to say that.
Coming out of the factory.
The chocolate river, man.
I agree.
You're going river? I'm saying blueberry.
Blueberry was my second.
Well, they know that they take her to the juicing room.
Yeah, but you're like, but they said she's bloated going to explode. You know how bloated she felt by the time that she was like filled with juice? Like, I don't even know.
With how quickly she filled up?
Roll her away?
Yeah. I do think, honestly, I wasn't ready for it when we saw because I didn't remember this part. But when, what was the little fat kid's name that loved chocolate?
Augustus. Augustus Gloop.
When he gets stuck in the tube.
Pipe.
Save some room for later.
I'm like, this would be the most terrifying way to watch your son die. I can't think of a worse way. And Wonka is just sitting there with all the coolness of an air conditioner on a hot summer day. And he's just like, oh, this is the fun part. Wait till you see the impact. And like, it's just, he has no qualms about the fact that the fat kid might be stuck in this tube in his factory. And this should create a lawsuit that's going to ruin him for life. So,
you got any quick clues, Jay?
No quick clips. I just want to go back to that elevator and how weird that editing was. When it's flying, it's like just like shaking.
It's just going in a vague direction.
Yeah.
I got one. Are you able to eat everything in that fucking place? I always wondered.
You said you could.
Except for the stairs on the way down. Everything, like the floor, the walk. You're walking. Are you able to lick that shit? Like, lemon. This is lemon flavor. Like, this. Are you able to eat everything?
I always wanted to, when he did the teacup.
The cup?
I want to try that.
I want to see. I want to see how delicious the drink.
We talked about that.
Is it lemon?
Yeah, we talked about that. What does that taste like?
But it seems yellow, though, because I'm going lemon, but it's like probably a...
Like a lemon cream or
something?
Could
be sweet.
Lemon cream sounds about
And then the...
Yeah, the crunch.
Yeah.
Great. Anyways, I always wondered that.
I mean, Justin wanted to go off on the chocolate fountain about how it looked like water.
I mean, that's just clear. Yeah.
It's just like watered down chocolate.
There's a lot of bad special effects when you grow as an adult. And you're like, wait, what the fuck?
What?
That is just brown water.
Would you guys visit the factory if given an opportunity?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
100%.
Without a doubt.
It does feel like everybody that ends up murdered, all those kids or whatever they end up, they all, which honestly, kudos to the writer for making it be like not an obvious murder. They're all like, oh, he needs this and we're going to take him off or something. But like, all those kids died probably, right?
Dude, that factory was dope. They had a park they went to, they could eat everything. They went on a little ship ride. They got a little bit crazy, I guess. Then they went to like a cream store where they got to eat a bunch of stuff there. And then they went on they got to be in a movie. And then they got to be in a cream car where the cream is just...
And then lick the wallpaper.
Lick the wallpaper. I mean, what a day. I would absolutely pay to go.
Can we talk about that boat ride for a second?
Fizzy lifting drinks, I mean, though, definitely too?
Okay, first of all, dude,
I mean, miss that. Can you imagine going on that ride?
There was a giant fan above that will murder them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm that part's scary, but the simple fact to be like,
that's enough for me flying, to not need it.
Dude, I want to fly.
I actually might make this video, but I'll just call it on now. There is a scene for like 4 seconds when Charlie just kept burping and falling down where I was like, take a scene out of a movie and then just show it to somebody and then just give them no explanation and ask them what's happening. Just keep burping and falling. 5 seconds. make that happen.
They could probably do a lot of little funny memes with that if I can.
Yeah, and you just fall down.
The boat ride.
Okay. I've seen a lot of trippy movie scenes in my time. There's two that I remember specifically having a visceral reaction to where I was like, I'm actually kind of tripping watching this movie. One was that scene on Monday, and the other one was at the time you showed me. What's a movie with David Bowie that you love so much?
A Labyrinth?
Labyrinth. Yeah. When the like guys are like throwing their heads
off. The pink guys throwing their heads
off? Yeah. I won that. But the combination of everything in that scene with the visuals that are just coming out of nowhere, the
chicken's head getting cut off,
Slugworth popping out of nowhere, the colors, the fact that Willy Wonka all of a sudden ends up just tripping out and just he gets in like a euphoric state and just starts, what does he say?
There's no real way of knowing which direction we are going. Is it raining? Is it pouring? Is a hurricane a-blowing? Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Is the Green Reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they aren't showing any signs that they are slowing! Woo!
And one take right there.
We're here.
Exactly.
Exit right?
Yeah, that's it.
Stop the boat!
Super trippy. Yeah, so that was a trip. All right, my last question is, what was the lesson of this movie?
Don't be a glutton. Mm-hmm. Don't be over greedy. Mm-hmm. Don't eat gum too much.
TV's bad for you.
Don't be into TV. And as long as you're grateful and honest and somebody offers you a bunch of money for something that you know you shouldn't give the thing for.
You're loyal.
All that thing. All those. Everything he's good at better definition words than I.
Synopsis.
So basically be Charlie Bucket.
Charlie Bucket.
Yeah.
Just less sad. Charlie's always so sad in the movie. He just has that sad face. He always has a sad face.
He's seen his life.
Yeah, but
he lives with four grandparents that share a bed. He eats like celery soup every night. Cabbage soup?
Cabbage soup.
His mom does everything. He takes every little coin he can get and he gives it to his ungrateful grandpa.
And buys chocolate.
So he could buy tobacco.
Tobacco and chocolate. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I guess so. Well, yeah, that's the moral of the story. There you go, Castle.
So this movie wrapped up a little too quickly for me. The fact that it was just like suddenly it went from you lose to here's a gobstopper. You own the factory! And then Harry just
From that point, it's done in 3 minutes.
And it's just over. Yeah. That's real quick. No more questions. No follow-up on all the kids that died.
Nope.
And
he tells him that they all go home safe to their sad, lonely lives in the elevator. Yeah.
Okay.
He probably fall asleep. But yeah, one of my favorite movies. Love Willy Wonka. And had to go into the grandparents and really kind of dissect that, because I've been wanting to go into that since I was a kid. And even as an adult watching the movie, it was like, what is going on?
What's the first thing they're taking a bite of in that factory?
The gummy bears. The big ass.
The big ass gummy
bear. The big ass 3-foot gummy bear.
That's a good call. Yeah, I might do that or the little teacup, man. The crunch.
Teacup looked bomb.
The mushroom with the cream.
Oh, mushroom cream. Okay.
Why does he say that?
Oh, mushroom cream.
Almost everything is edible, and like he puts it out there, but then basically everybody just finds something that it's like, oh, well, that's not finished yet, and it's probably going to kill you. That's a little
key. That gum piece.
On the low, hey, I know that we said everything was edible, but that chocolate is going to drown you.
Yeah, you're going to die.
Yeah.
But he says not to drink the chocolate. It should not be touched by human hands.
Contaminated now.
Yeah.
He does not until it's too late. In Augsworth or whatever his name is.
Augustus.
He's already in there. Anyways, I think we've eaten all the chocolate out of this box, right? On behalf of DJ Jag.
Yeah.
J-Way.
What'd it do?
I'm Castle.
Oompa Loompa Doobity-Doo.
We are out of here.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.